You know who this is. Welcome to the Pure Individual Podcast.
What are some of the issues that you're seeing right now with men in relationships?
I see a lot of things. The first one that comes to mind is I see men don't know where to put their attention and their focus. You know, I think that social media has had a significant impact on men and women as well, for sure. But men specifically, it's like there's so many options and there's so much that's not real and authentic in the online world. So they're seeing all these, you know, baddies on the Instagram and they think that, you know, it's like it's never enough. There's this never enoughness. And because of that, the relationships stay very shallow and they don't get to really go deep with anybody. And then they wonder why they're very unfulfilled in relating. And it's not really about chasing any one thing. It's about yourself. And when you are correct, the people around you show up correct. And it's a very different experience.
Yeah, I can see that as well. There's definitely an inflated standard that's been created through online spaces. Definitely.
Yeah. And then they take that into their lives. You know, it's very different than back in the day when we didn't have these things available to us. You kind of had who was in front of you, you know, at your job, at work. And a lot of people were actually very fulfilled in their relationships because there wasn't this idea in the back of their mind that there's like someone else better, you know, because it's really like they're chasing something that doesn't exist.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I would say that that is very much an issue because there's not. I think in terms of bonding, it's something that's definitely larger when it comes to men than women. We do see the grass is greener on the other side, all over, but that particular delusion, it has a strange stronghold. Men.
Yeah, I think part of it too is that men don't have initiations. So there's nothing to initiate them into manhood. You know, so they pretty much go from high school to their parents' house to college, frat parties, everything. Like there's no initiation into you are a man now. It's basically an initiation into unconsciousness, into drinking and beer and like that type of lifestyle. And so you often find these men who are just not quite men yet, even though they're in man bodies. They have not arrived yet. You know, the man child, the Peter Pan syndrome. But we need these processes. You know, something in you needs to die. Like in the Druid culture, you know, when you become an adult, you actually get like a totally different name. Like you become an adult and you take on someone different because you are a different person now. But there are processes that have to happen. So men have lost that.
Would you say, I mean, I would say that it's largely a Western civilization problem.
Yeah.
I know that for myself, I definitely have had to go through rites of passage in my life. And, you know, there are societies where you do have to go through initiations as a man, but it's really few and far between. In Western civilization, you know, you have, growing up Mormon, we have initiated, like you have to go through the priesthood, you have to go through these processes of taking on responsibilities. And I think that when people don't have, you know, men don't have those, if they don't have the culture for it, you know, then we run into that issue. I mean, largely, I also think that it's a North American thing in a lot of ways. I mean, I'm not going to absolve Europe from it either, but you know, in North America, because things are so homogenized, whether it's in Canada or in America, United States of America, there is a lack of that initiation into manhood, definitely.
Yeah. And men are very one-track minded and focused on one thing at a time often, which is great. But often what I see is like men who have put their attention and their focus on their success, their career, and they'll be one-track minded in that one thing, but there's a huge initiation that they've lost in their terms of relating. So they don't have the emotional intelligence, the emotional depth to actually know how to relate to a woman, you know? So I meet a lot of men and they're like, I have everything except the woman. I have everything except her, you know, which is a big lack, and they're seeking it, you know?
Yeah. What are some solutions that you've seen recently?
It's really finding the blocks and like the energetic leaks. Like, what is leaking your energy? You know? So, like, for example, a man that I worked with recently, it was all about like Instagram was really draining his field and having this concept of like all these women, you know, maybe it's like OnlyFans, maybe it's fantasizing, like it's really going to be case by case, but there are certain things that are blocking your energy and leaking your energy and your vitality. And if you're distracted on those, like it's actually taking from you a lot more than you think. But these things are designed to hit us. You know, we get a hit of dopamine. So we think, okay, this is great. Like this feels really good. I get a hit of dopamine when I look at a woman who's half naked or whatever it is. But you don't see the way that it's not only leaking your energy, but it's shaping then the way that you see women and shaping the way that you see yourself as well. You're looking at a 10 and you think you're a 10. And then you're like, okay, every woman that I meet needs to look like this chick who actually doesn't even probably look like that. You know, we don't know. Some of these women are AI, like they're literally not even real. And then you're thinking that women all need to be that way.
Yeah, I think that's a massive problem. It's a massive problem. There's also there's the issue of, putting your attention, putting your focus in the wrong place. There's also the issue of what you're allowing into your life. As a man, I can say that where you put your, where you water your garden, that's going to grow or not. And that's not to say that there can't be, there can't be problems with that garden. Not to say that it's all about where you put your attention and your effort. That's not the only determining factor. But I can say that if you, like, as a man, if you have your attention in all of these different places, you're not going to end up with somebody that's ideal. You're not. If you have a roster, it's not going to happen. If you have, like, the more I can say this as a man, that the more women that you have your attention split between, the lower your probability is of ending up with a woman of substance, because you're not living your life as a man of substance. And that's a massive problem. Some men can live their lives like that due to resources, but they still have very meaningless lives. They might be able to entertain multiple women with material resources, with attention, but they still are not going to end up with what they ultimately want, even if they don't think that that's what they want. They do.
Exactly.
We have genetic imperatives, like, and the internet has also created a massive problem with that, with the manosphere, male influencer bullshit. It runs in, run into another direct problem with the delusion of choice. There's that issue, and then there's also the issue of initiation, because in Western society, initiation has become about money. It hasn't always been like that. And it's still not like that in every, and you know, it's very much a Western thing. In other cultures, like that's not what's going to actually qualify you as a viable partner. Genetically, that's not what qualifies you as a viable partner, but we're living in a time of a lot of denial of biological reality. And so, if we get back to what it is to be a solid man in a relationship, there's a lot of the areas that I think men are concentrated on that they would find really quickly not to concentrate on.
A big part of that is being honest with yourself and being able to have honest feedback and reflections. And I think that's where having correct guidance comes into place. Like, I've worked with men where they've told me that, like, their friends have said some of the things I've said, but like, it hasn't been able to land. Like, they needed to hear it from someone who's totally impartial, like someone who's totally neutral. Like, I'm not in your life. I'm not seeing you on the day to day. How is it that I'm able to pick out all the same stuff that your friends say to you all the time that are like your problems that you think are not problems?
Right.
It's there.
Definitely. I'm trying not to laugh because like you see me every day, so so now I'm just thinking like, oh, I'm doing pretty good.
You are.
Does help
I
the
mean, correctness is such a huge part of that. You know, it's like if you're not correct, you're transferred, you're in distraction. That's going to show up in your relationships. I mean, that's a huge piece of it.
Totally. Yeah, it's going to show up. And there's no remedy for it. You know, there's no hack for it. There's nothing that you can do to compensate for it. Either you are or you're not, and you are going to have a different quality of course, quality of life, but definitely quality of relationship when you are correct.
I mean, I really have found that when you clean up certain things, certain energetic leaks that you have, you're like, if you're a generator, for example, like you're what you are responding to is actually going to change. Like everything changes when your frequency is different. You know, it's like you could have a response for heroin. Like you could have a response for that. You think it's a response. Is it really a response, or have you convinced yourself that that's a response? You know, like there's a lot of people who think that they're correct, but they're actually chasing instant gratification and they're not actually embodied in their true selves. So it becomes this homogenization over the homogenization, you know, and you're like, oh, I'm responding. Oh, I'm doing this. It's like, are you really though?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that for men, it's difficult to know what to concentrate on when you haven't had, I wouldn't say necessarily solid father figures, because I really don't think it's about that. I think that you have to have somebody be honest with you, or you have to be honest with yourself. You have to have some sort of a wake-up call, I think, a lot of the time. It does play a factor. You know, our upbringing does play a massive factor for men. I don't think it has anything to do with fatherly time, like whatsoever. I don't think it has anything to do with that, because it's 100% demonstration. We've never had. Yeah, as a species, up until very recently, you never had your father around, really hardly ever. Your father was at war, your father was working, or you hardly ever. It's a very new thing. So I don't think that that's, you know, I don't think that these are areas where people can cop out on or make excuses. It is largely about demonstration, but I think that the majority of men have some sort of figure that did demonstrate masculinity to them at some point. And so I don't like that cop out at all. Definitely don't. You get to a point, I think every man should get to a point where you can examine the figures that have demonstrated masculinity for you in your life, and you can see whether they were good examples or not good examples. A lot of accountability is required when we're talking about
If
this, like a lot.
you didn't get something, it's still your responsibility to give it to yourself. And sometimes we are modeled the opposite of what is correct. Sometimes we know love through experiencing what is not love. And we see a really bad example, and then we're able to step more fully into what is true. Also, I mean, there's the father wound, but there's also the mother wound, and nervous system. And I mean, it does go really deep, but none of that is like an excuse. And what's most important is to recognize it, but know how to actually live your life. Like, you could spend forever, you could spend an entire lifetime healing and trying to heal and doing the healing work. But, like, are you living? Because that stuff is actually an energy siphon in and of itself. It's like the more healing you do, the more you're plugging into these wounds and just focusing on the wound and the pain, that you really lose sight of life. Like, life is trying to speak to you. Life wants you responding. And it's like, you're just in this sad place of looking at your pain, but everybody has pain. If you go looking for it, you're going to find it. If you go looking for wounds, you're going to find it. But it's being intentional with what you're looking at and then not losing sight of life, because we're all here to be in relationship with life.
It's huge in the context of the generator. I mean, because the sacral response is what's going to guide the generator to respond to the correct woman. But if that sacral response isn't active, if that sacral response isn't on, if that sacral response isn't listened to, then you, it's like, what are you responding to? Because they're responding to an external stimulus. So if you have external stimulus that's there that's not good for you, then it's going to fry your response to the correct external stimulus.
Yeah, exactly. And when it comes to relationships, it's not just about like how to get into a relationship. It's how to be in it in a harmonious way. Maybe you can get a girl through cheap tricks and whatever, something that you find on the internet, but it doesn't mean that she's going to stick around. Like, the game is not to get a girl. The game is like to be the being that you are, that's meant to be in right relationship with that woman who's going to bring you the right nourishment, that's going to be that being that you bring life into the world. Like, something more powerful comes through being with this person. It's so much deeper than what we see on the surface.
Yeah, you're not going to get the benefits of you're not going to get the benefits of being with a woman without going about it the right way. You're not, and it's a longer process. That's you have to be committed to the longer process when it comes to reaping the benefits of having a woman in your life that you want to have in your life that's going to be sustainable. What I mean by that is sustainable in your development. It's a long process. I mean, I don't mean that in like, oh, this is like a marathon. You have to really commit. It's not that, because it's not that deep in terms of like, it's not that difficult. You just have to stop fucking up. Like, you have to put your attention, in the right places, and you have to be ready to really take that step. I think a lot of men, of course, there's like the inner work that has to be done, but it's not just, because it's not just about healing, it's not just about all of the, I mean, frankly, there's a fuck ton of masculine grifting that is going on in the world right now. There's a lot of there's a lot of dudes giving a lot of advice that I wouldn't trust for 5 minutes with any woman in my family. The work that you have to do as a man is not comfortable. Like, it is very, very uncomfortable. It's very, very uncomfortable, especially when you have to face certain realities, biological realities. Can you take care? Like, can you actually take care of the type of woman that you want? Because I see men with a desire for a certain type of woman, whether that's a woman that's has traditional values or one that doesn't, whatever the desire is. But like, can you take care of that type of woman? And I don't think I'm a hypocrite in saying this, because I think that I actually apply this.
Yeah. Can you meet her? Is she going to be in a relationship with you? You know, if you can't go to the depths with a woman, she's going to get bored. Like, it depends on the type of woman that you want to attract. If you just want someone, you know, cute who's just not really there but looks good, like, that's fine. Anyone can do that, you know? It's like easy. But like, what is the quality of the woman that you want in your life? What are you building? What are you creating? I've known a lot of men who want a deeper woman, but they're not ready yet. But if there's a willingness, you know, you can prepare for it. Like, it's possible. But you're gonna have to let yourself be seen, and it's gonna be vulnerable, and you're gonna have to look at the things that are not pretty in you. And that's part of the initiation. Can you look at your bad habits? Can you look at the thing that everyone sees in you when they look at you, but no one wants to tell you? Like, I had a client recently. There was like a big revelation that he had. And so he went to one of his best friends and he told her, you know, oh my gosh, like, I had this revelation. Valia helped me see. And she's like, yeah. Like, we all see that, and that's the reason why, like, I haven't set you up with anyone. It's like, this is the thing that's preventing you from having what you want, but you haven't had the willingness to look at
Frankly, I haven't had to go through a lot of this stuff.
it.
A lot of it is very foreign to me. I do see it, like I, as an outsider, like I do see it happen. I was fortunate to have be raised in the family that I was, and have the masculine demonstration that I did. And but I do see these things. It's pretty clear. I think, feedback is just a huge one, right? I think that has been really instrumental for me, is not being afraid to ask for feedback. You know me, I'm not afraid to ask for feedback.
Yeah.
But if you ask for feedback, you have to be ready to take the hit.
And it's not just taking the hit, it's actually, can you apply that to your life? Like, there's a lot of things that, like, you'll hear over and over again, but are you ready to actually implement that into your life? Because that's going to take a willingness from you to actually recognize that something does need to change. You know, it's like you can play the same old song on repeat, on a loop over and over again until you're ready for a different groove.
Yeah, totally. What are some kind of turning points that you've seen recently?
Well, for me, it's always a balance of revealing enough without revealing too much, you know, because I can look at someone and within, you know, a few moments be able to pinpoint everything. And it's being able to receive the guidance in the right amount of time, because you also need somebody who can give that to you without frying your circuits. You know, like, if I give someone too much, it's actually too much. Like, you got to be able to be ripe and ready to receive something. I think that's the biggest thing. Like, you don't actually want to go digging for your problems. When they come up naturally and organically, you want to be able to meet them.
Yeah, I think that's huge.
Yeah. So for me, as a Sphinx, for example, like, I tend to be here with someone at the beginning and like the start of something new when they need a different direction. So usually by the time somebody finds me, they already know that like they're ready. Like, they know that something needs to change, something needs to shift, directionally love identity direction. With me, that's the theme. So they know that something needs to change. So they're already like ripe and ready for it. Because the worst thing to do for anybody is to try to force them to change.
Yeah, it doesn't work. Yeah, you've already have to, at some level, know that you at least need to make a change. I think that I just see so much concentration in the wrong places. People, I see men listen to the wrong men. Like, who are we, you know? First off, well, I mean, I think that's a problem in the first place. Like, listening to the wrong men and then not listening to enough women. That's where I've gained my edge in life, is that I listen to women more than I listen to men. And I have more women in my life than I do men. Because that's the feedback that I think is valuable at this point in time. And for our generation, for the world that we live in right now, I think that for a man, feedback from women is much more important than feedback from men, unless it's a man that you truly do look up to that does cover all of the areas of masculinity that need to be covered, which is a lot, and most men don't cover those areas.
Women have a lot of wisdom. The oracle as an archetype, projectors are helpful there. Aware, correct projectors.
Makes me just think about initiations for men, because I didn't even really get respect from my dad until I had gone to war. I'm not glorifying that or saying that that's the way that things should be, but I am saying that when there's a gravity to your masculinity that is that deep, you do conduct yourself in a certain way. And you do take certain matters more seriously. And it's not that I wasn't respected, or that they didn't respect me. It was that after I had been on combat operations, after I had went after jihadists, then the men in my family had to respect me. I guess that's a more clean way to put it, is that then they had to. I think as a man, there are things that you can choose to do to establish yourself. And things that you do to establish yourself that are not money related. I think that's largely where the problem is if you're trying to make a move, do this, do that to add to a foundation of your masculinity, and it's rooted in money, that's not getting you anywhere. Period. Like, it's not. There's plenty of billionaire cowards, right? Like, I think that every man has to choose how he's going to develop his character and develop his traits outside of that.
I agree. I feel like that is a piece that is important, but you have to know when to shift. It's like you put your attention on finances and resources. Like that's a very important piece of the puzzle. But then at what point do you start to realize that that's not everything? That's one aspect. It's important because you need that security for yourself. You need that security when you are approaching a woman. Absolutely. But it can't be everything. Because you're right, there's a lot of men out there who don't have what they really want. Would you say that your experience helped give you confidence, like as a man?
I didn't need to go to war for that. I mean, it definitely didn't need to go to war for that. I wouldn't say that I had any more confidence post operations than I did before, frankly. I went to war to, there's a lot of reasons, but I more so went to confirm who I already was. I didn't go there to become somebody. It just confirmed who I already was. It wasn't one of those things where it was like I went on some hero's journey to become something. No, I already was that. I already was that. I just added experience to it. I already was that. I've got a lot of experience, but I wouldn't say that that increased my confidence there. What did make a difference is leading up to that. I put in the hours that I've put into training, the resources that I've put into training. It's a lot. It's a lot. Training with firearms is a lot. Costs a lot of money. It takes a lot of time, takes a lot of energy, takes a lot of discipline. And I'm a natural, so there's also that. I can't act like I'm not because I very much am a natural. And I pick up a weapon and I know how to use it really quickly. So I also can't say that I wasn't confident before because I was. But there is, as you do build your competence, your physical competence, there is a confidence that comes with that competence, definitely. As I feel that come out, I think that another place where there's the wrong concentration, the wrong focus, is in what you're becoming competent at. Like, I see a lot of men will go to the gym, for instance. Okay, cool, good, be strong. But what are you competent in with that? Because I can say right now that the more muscle I have, the bigger target I am, and the slower I move. I have to have a very delicate balance. There's a balance of strength and speed in combat. So it's like, what kind of competence are you building? If you're bodybuilding, if you're going to the gym, you're lifting, what are you doing that for? What's the actual purpose of it? Are you going to compete? If you're going to compete, great. Fucking do it. Props to you. Do that. But if you're not going to compete and you're just adding on muscle mass for the gram or whatever, because you need an aesthetic, I would revisit that.
Because you think it's going to get you a woman, which
Yeah,
I see a lot.
I would also revisit that because in my experience that's not the
I mean, what type of woman is that going to attract? Had a guy tell me he spends 2 hours every day at the gym. I was like, damn, like, it's 2 hours you could be spending doing a lot. Like, do you really need 2 hours? Because it does become kind of like an obsession after a while. Because then there's also, if you don't have right relationship with it, there's like this shaming of if you didn't make it to the gym for 2 hours that day. And then you just feel horrible about yourself, and it's like this spiral. It's like you really need moderation, and it's the health and vitality of your life,
That's, we're onto something. Definitely onto something. Because the shame aspect, for instance, like if we look at the shame aspect, it's like, who are you listening to? Who are you listening to that is planting that conditioning inside of you that you should be ashamed that you haven't gone to the gym? You know how long it's been since I've gone to the gym? Last time I went to the gym was before I went to combat. That was the last time that I went to the gym. My gym is the shooting range.
Well, I love fitness. I work out pretty much every day. Like, I'm a fitness instructor, so I do love fitness, but I will say that I'm not going to spend 2 hours for me, that would really be inefficient. I feel like if you need 2 hours, I don't know, you might not be doing it right. Now, if you're a bodybuilder, like you said, like, and you have an end goal, okay, and that's a thing to work toward, right? But if it's just something to feed something in you, you got to look at that.
Yeah. Well, I think what I'm doing is I'm getting personal because I'm saying I don't go to the gym, but I do go to the shooting range. For you, with me, what's more attractive? Me shooting or me going to the gym?
Yeah, shooting for sure. No question.
That's where I'm going. I think that's where I'm going with it.
Yeah. No, for sure. For sure. I mean, it's like priorities.
Priorities.
Yeah. I mean, really, if you know how to fight, do you even need your muscles that big? I mean, I trained Muay Thai in Thailand, right? And a lot of these fighters are actually not big guys. They're strong and they know how to move their body. But they're also, unless they're training for a fight, they're not spending hours training every day. They're efficient with their movement and they
Exactly.
know that their body is a killer and they actually wield that properly and with respect and honor. And that's a vibe. Like, as a woman, that's a
Okay, I made my case. I made my case.
Yes, I can attest to
I
that.
mean, anybody that has experience with life or death combat, I mean, you don't want to have what's unnecessary that's there. Like we always would, this is just guerrilla fighter banter, but like we would laugh at people that wear like plate carriers and helmets and shit like that because it slows you down. Like, what are you gonna, the appearance. I think that's another thing too. As a man, you do need to carry yourself a certain way. You do need to appear a certain way. That is natural for you. And you don't get that through listening to what this guy says you need to do, or how your body needs to look, or what the symmetry needs to be, or any of that. And you really have to be comfortable in your true self, 100%.
Right, which our body is the vehicle. Everything is about taking care of this vehicle. So, I mean, there's a whole, we won't even get into the fitness industry and how much distortion there is, and how a lot of people who have eating disorders just kind of transfer their homogenization stuff into the fitness industry. I mean, I see a lot of stuff that's like actually pretty scary in the fitness world, and it's like people are doing their best. So sometimes, you come across someone who like very clearly has like massive distortion, and you're like, ooh, honey, like, it's, there's a lot that's there for sure. But I feel when we want to be correct in our vehicles, we're going to take care of it. And that may not be in the way that you think you're meant to take care of it. Like determination. How are you actually meant to eat? I mean, all these things are so important.
Yeah, what did yeah, definitely don't wanna, there's a lot that's there that definitely doesn't need to be concentrated on, but it is something that came up because I do see it's such a large place where a lot of men that think that they're doing the things that they are supposed to be doing
Right.
because they've
Well,
added that as one of their things. They need to go to the gym for however long, or they need to bench this or whatever, it is. So I do think,
we're told what is masculinity, right? I mean,
right.
when it comes down to it, is it really the way that you look? I mean, we could even talk about how women seem to be really obsessed with height these days. But like, does height really matter? Like, when you have a man who's like legit and he's a protector and he's a vibe, like, does height really matter? I mean, I'm short, so it's hard for me to speak on that because anyone is taller than me. So it's like, oh, a guy's like 5'4". I'm like, well, he's not that short. Like, he's taller than I am. So like, height is not a thing, but it's like, for women, we have to really have our priorities straight. It's like that's one of the issues. We might speak to men where they're distorted. It's like, well, women too, of like, where are they focusing? Where are the priorities? If your number one priority is his height preference, like, babe, we gotta look at that.
I know, right? Yeah, I've always thought it was interesting. I mean, I'm not tall. I'm 5'9". I'm not tall. I'm also not a big target.
There you
I'm
go.
also not a big target. Yeah, there's it's kind of like I mean, it's girl math. He's tall, so he can protect me. No, he's tall. He can get
No,
shot first.
he's a bigger target. That's
Get
right.
shot first.
That's right. I
Sorry,
mean,
babe.
really, big bulky muscles can really get in the way, you know, if you've got an arrow that you need to grab behind you, but your muscles are so large that you can't even reach your hand behind your back. I mean, where's your apocalypse skills, babe, you know? Yeah, so this is true. It's a conversation closer to 2027. I mean, we're getting there, but
There was a conversation that I had with Barbara Ditlow, and she said, "I don't know what these women are going to do that think that they don't need men." And I don't, just talking about the dynamic, because it's a biological reality. The way that humans have always thrived has been through pair bonding. Always. It's a biological reality. I'm knocking anybody's sex life or what they're into or what they've But pair bonding is a neurochemical biological reality that cannot be denied. And that's how you thrive. And I think that that's a large part of this conversation is, I mean, there's also the question of, do you have the capacity to pair bond with a woman?
it's a big question.
I think that's also a big one for a man. I know when I have it, and I know when I have. I know when I haven't, and when I have. Do you have the capacity to? Because if you don't have the capacity to, don't go down that road.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point too. And like the narrative that we're fed is that we can do everything on our own, that we don't need relationship, that we don't need a person, that we don't, you know. And it's challenging because the way that lies happen is that there's a little bit of truth in everything. That's like the best way to lie, is that you're right, you don't need another person to complete you. That's true. But we absolutely need each other. Like we are here to be in communion. And if you think that you're doing it all on your own, I mean, name one person who's really successful, who's done everything on their own, who's never had another person. Like, try to find someone.
For our species, it has never been that way. It's never been that way. And of course, you know me. I'm very heteronormative.
Can confirm, yes. We know
I
this.
am, and so of course I do have my perspective on that, but I'm also looking at the biological reality that, like, for men, unless you are definitely not hetero, you need women in your life. You do. You can have whatever relationship dynamic you want, but you need women in your life. And you know what? When I think about it, I think that there are gay men that actually hack this really, really great. Because they'll have a lot of women in their life, and you can see the benefits that they have from it. There are neurochemical benefits that we get from each other, regardless of sexual orientation. But the benefits that you get from a woman as a man, to really get those benefits, you have to pair bond. You do.
And it's interesting when you speak to gay men because I find that they're often quite discerning about the women around them because they're actually not trying to take from them. Like they actually want to be in right relationship more often than not. I mean, there's so much with men, you know, I notice there's an entitlement to feminine energy because a part of them knows that they need it. They know that they need it. And so there's a lot of men out there walking around wondering, why isn't it happening for me? You know, they're looking around. I meet these men at the grocery store. They're looking at me like, hey, I really want to connect with you. And I'm like, ooh, like this is not the time or the place, and this is not the vibe, but I see that you see something in me that you like and that you want, and that a part of you is nourished by. I really get that, but there's a big gap between what you want, what you have, and there's this work in between that's going to get you there. And it's not going to be entitlement. And it's not going to be, I should have this. I see it, therefore I want it, therefore it's mine. It's a lot deeper than that. So, I mean, I would guess those men aren't listening to this. I would guess men who are listening to this are a little bit beyond that, but they probably see and recognize that in men all the time. I literally see it every time I leave my house. Every time I'm at the grocery store, it's there.
Yeah, I see that. I see that it's with men more so. I would say online, that yeah, I would say more so. I come from such an interesting culture. It's very pair bonding, it's a very pair bonding culture. And we do see the, I guess I did grow up around seeing those benefits. It's like, I mean, I watched with my, with some of like my, with my aunts and uncles, like them going through the poor student cycle of like getting the MBA or whatever it was, like, and the benefits that my uncles got from their wives that you only get through pair bonding. I'm not gonna say you get it through marriage. You get it through pair bonding, through devotion to that one person. And I think there's a massive lie that's sold these days. Massive, massive, massive lie that's sold these days. Is that pair bonding doesn't matter. I mean, overall, not just with men, but I think men are definitely susceptible to it. And men are susceptible to it in a way that women are not susceptible to it, just in that we can be complete idiots. I mean, the moment that there is any sort of sexual arousal, like you have to go through. I mean, I'm fortunate in this. Like I actually lived a true life of celibacy as a priest. Like I actually lived a true life of celibacy as a gorilla. But that took a lot of dedication, a lot of discipline. Most men don't have either. Most men don't put themselves in opportunities where they have to develop that type of discipline. And so, because of that, I think that men are very susceptible to fucking up their pair bonding. I know women fuck up their pair bonding through promiscuity. Like, that's also a neurochemical reality. But men are susceptible to just being idiots. I mean, we could really just be idiots.
What would you say is the biggest way that men mess up their pair bonding?
I would say that the real gateway to fucking up your pair bonding as a man would be pornography. That's the real gateway. I'm not saying that that is the end all be all, but it is a gateway. Yeah, I've worked with many men as a priesthood leader that were preparing to get married, and sometimes men will have they'll have issues there. Sometimes I would say it's actually not that big of an issue. You're just making it a bigger issue than it actually is. So there's definitely a spectrum that's there on, what's healthy and what's not healthy. But I would say that that is definitely the gateway, because I can say that this is for the women. If he's not with you, he's with somebody else. That is the harsh truth. If he's not with you, he's with somebody else. If he's not sexual with you, he's sexual with somebody else. Men have their own tells when it comes to pair bonding.
Yes, I find that there's a lot of people that don't know about pair bonding. I feel like I'm often educating people on it, and I really appreciate that you're somebody who speaks to this a lot because people are not having this conversation enough. Can you just in a concise way explain it to someone if they don't know what that is?
So it's just that is the person that you are physically inclined to sexual. It's called pair bonding for a reason. It's not tri bonding. It's not quad bond. It's called pair bonding for a reason. As that is the person that you're inclined to sexually. And so humans, We are designed to be inclined to one person sexually more so than anybody else. The pair bonding is being inclined to one person, and it's a neurochemical process. I actually, this was something that was really, really beneficial for me when I was a Sunday school president, is I had a bishop who was a neuroscientist, and every year he would take, is when I was a Sunday school president at a young single adults ward. And so every year he would teach a class on how that process worked, on what chemicals would get released based off what touch and at what point, you know, he's like, at what point sexuality in terms of chastity, at what point there was like no return, right? And then also the benefits of waiting because of what that was going to do. And I've seen this with my, a lot of my childhood friends that I grew up with that ended up with our friends, like, you know, their high school sweethearts, and they have great marriages. They're our age. They have great marriages. They have kids. Like, their pair bonding started when they were young, and it's like, it's solid. And promiscuity fucks your pair bonding. It causes a lot of problems. And so whether that promiscuity is through pornography or through a roster of women, you're causing problems with yourself. And it's actually a can be a much deeper issue for women neurochemically. That's a whole other thing. But pair bonding is very important. And you know, based off having one person that you are more inclined to, but that takes awareness. It takes awareness to know that, you know, there's one person that you're more inclined to. I think for projectors, it's kind of a no-brainer. It's whoever you're lost in.
For split definitions, it's who's bridging you. I mean, depends on the split, maybe not a wide, but.
It's whoever you have that inclination to more so than anybody. I'm pair bonded to you.
Yeah, it would be different if you weren't. And there are people out there who have lost the ability to pair bond, and that is going to have a huge impact on their relationships. That they can't see, which is really sad. I feel like when I see it, it's very sad.
It is sad. It's one of those biological realities where it can't be. I mean, I don't know. I don't have the research for on it. I'm not an expert on it, but when I think about it from a design standpoint, I mean, you'd be looking at least 7 years if you were going to go through the biological process of undoing. But yeah, the I think that's just such an important part of this conversation is pair bonding, because it's like, what do you actually want? Do you want a solid woman in your life? If you do, then you want to make sure that you pair bond the right one. Don't want to pair bond to You don't want to pair bond to a woman that you don't want to have your kids. That's what I'll put that. That's the way that I'll put it. That's the way that I see it. If you wouldn't want her to have your kids, you don't want to pair bond. It's not ideal.
I mean, that's a whole conversation that I have with women a lot
Yeah,
because
you do. Yeah, you do. You do.
also, why are you sleeping with a man whose babies you would not want to have? If these contraceptives were not available to you and readily accessible to you, would you be sleeping with this man? If the answer is no, should you really be sticking that in your body? I mean, like, let's just be so for real, you know? And it's sad because I will say this to women, and this will be the first time they've ever heard it. And it's like, I see the wheels starting to turn, and I'm like, oof, babe, like, yikes.
In the
you wouldn't have this man's babies. Why are you having sex with him?
Yeah, exactly. Why?
So for men, it's the same thing. If you would not want her to be the mother of your children, is it really the right thing for you to be pair bonding with her, sleeping with her? Even if you're not having sex with her, you're pair bonding energetically,
Yeah, or
biochemically.
where are you? Yeah, where are you giving your attention? Where are you? Yeah, exactly. Because there's the neurochemical process. And so, yeah, you concentrate on the women that you want to pair bond with.
Yeah. I mean, it's really crazy for women because there is science behind this. And the science, honestly, in this one, it's a little bit challenging to find it because people don't want this information out there. But when a woman is physically having sex with a man, she's actually biochemically pair bonded with him. And what that means is when you're pair bonded with somebody through sex and intimacy physically, you as a woman are actually not going to see his red flags and you're not going to see his issues because your body biochemically believes that that could be the father of your children. So biochemically, your body wants to keep the family together. So it's great if you're in a family because you're not going to be as bothered by his like little annoying tendencies, you know? But if you've not properly vetted this man, you're not even sure that you want to be with him. But now you have slept with him. You're not going to see the things, like you're not going to see the red flags because your biology is actually now working against you. And then you're wondering why you just spent 2 years with this man that you probably should not have gone on a second date with. I mean, talk about a waste of vitality.
People do not want to. It's the oxytocin release. From what I understand, the oxytocin release always happens with women, and it doesn't always happen with men. Men, we have to be in love. That's why if you're a woman and you've had men be in love with you before, you notice that we just wake up one day and it's just there. It's not this gradual process that's neurochemically happening. We just wake up and whoa, like that's the way it is for me. I wake up, oh, here we are, here I am, and I know that I can wake up and that can happen at any moment. But women, it's like who you're sexual with, that is building, 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 building. And so, yeah, that it's a tragedy. For me, when I see it, like it's a tragedy because there's such a lack of awareness on there, and that's really something to face because it's, sexuality is important, but there are real consequences that are these are biological consequences, not dogmatic consequences. These are biological consequences.
Yeah, people don't want to hear it. Because it has a certain way that it sounds because of the conditioning that we're used to taking on, you know, and there is truth in everything that we're sold. You know, it's like, yes, your body, absolutely, like do what you want with your body, but know that whatever it is that you do, there are going to be consequences. And that's okay as long as you know. You know, if you know this and you know that once you sleep with that man, you're not going to see his red flags, but it still feels right for you to do it, then babe, like do it for sure. But I often see women who just get very lost in dating and they wonder why. And I ask them, like, are you sleeping with this guy that you barely know? And they're always like, well, yeah, it just, you know, it seems normal. It's like, oh, you know, like it is normalized, but is it actually normal?
It's not normal. It's not.
No.
This is such a potentially charged topic, but it's so important. It's important. This is
Is.
something I remember talking to Barbara about 2027 and about cycle change and about partnership. And it really is the next two. Being correct and living your type, the next most important factor in your life is who you're pair bonded with. That's your next most important survival factor.
100%. Choose wisely, as Indiana Jones said. Don't choose poorly. The not self is a horror show. It'll have you making some real bad decisions, taking you away from your mission, distracting you. It's wild.
Self-relationship is just such a, it's a catastrophe in so many ways. It's a catastrophe in so many ways. You enter into something with somebody incorrectly, and then you're, or you're also, if you're in it incorrectly, you exit it, incorrectly. It just causes so much pain, causes so much distortion. And so the preparation that you have to go through is really important. I would say if, for myself as a man, I haven't risked it. I haven't risked it. And I've been, of course, aware, and I've been in design, but I haven't risked it in between lovers because of my awareness, because I'm aware of pair bonding. And so I have not.
Going not self is just too costly.
It just costs too
For me, it's
much.
too expensive.
It's
It's too expensive
expensive.
for my whole system. I'm like, I don't want to do that. It's an expense that I don't want to take on. I would rather not. I would rather spend that energy wisely on something that's good. It's going to look good on me.
Yeah, I think that there is a, think there is a desire for that is starting to build for a lot of beings that are aware to have the right relationship that's romantic, to have the right lover. But there are a lot of energetic blind spots, and a lot of those energetic blind spots, I think, are in the spiritual community, world, function, society. I don't know what to call it other than I don't know what to call it, but
The
because
new age,
the new age,
whatever.
what, yeah, a lot of it is there. Like if we look at the sexual healing business and all of that stuff, cool, great. I'm not knocking anybody's hustle. Don't get me twisted. I'm not knocking anybody's hustle. Do what you want, enjoy your pleasure, do your thing. But be aware of pair bonding. That's what I'm saying. Be aware of pair
Yes.
bonding.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's going to have an effect on the vehicle.
Chooses the correct relationships. It's the body. It's not the personality. It's the body.
Also, I feel like, you bring up tantra and when you bring up intimacy and things like that, I think that a lot of people think there's a bigger problem there than there is. It's like I'll work with people and clients and it's like, well, what's the actual problem? If you're trying to like put lipstick on a pig, it might just not be correct for you. And that's okay. It's like if you're trying to create a desire that's not really there, is there really like what is really the problem here?
Yeah. Put lipstick on a pig. Oh my.
Like, oh, I'm not attracted to this person. Let's fix it and let's go to a $5,000 tantra retreat and all these things. It's like, well, you just stopped responding to your partner. That happened.
Yeah, you're just not responding to them anymore.
Yeah, it might be a different issue than what you think. It might actually not be about sex. It might actually be about safety. You might actually not feel safe in your relationship anymore. There might have been a breach of trust, there might have been something, but it may actually not be sex at all. But it's you're focusing on the sex because that's often what we do. And it's showing up in the sex life, the problems, but that's actually not the problem. It's
Problem
a diagnostic issue.
is, yeah, that's not not the problem. Oh yeah, as an emotional projector, yeah, the issue is always something outside of. I know that this is not my sexual energy is not the problem. Like I have passion and I've got a lot of it. That's not the problem. There's something outside, I mean, I see it all. There's an just overall fractal in relationships. and their sexuality issues. It's something else. Because the vehicle does all that, takes care of all of that. That's why some people have boring sex and some people don't. Because some people are designed to have boring sex and some people aren't.
Yep. Yeah, I mean I see a lot of generators when they don't have something to put their creative life force energy into that's actually of purpose and meaning, they will just leak that energy into their sexuality and get a quick hit of instant gratification rather than actual having deep satisfaction, which is going to take a little bit more work. You know, it might be easier to get a quick hit, but to have a life that is truly satisfying is going to take a little bit more effort.
That up, that's really important because yeah, the when a generator, somebody that's sacral, doesn't have the right work in their life, they will put that sacral energy into their sexuality, and that can also be the wrong sexuality. You can also be putting that somewhere where they're not responding. I mean, it's really simple for the generator, you know. Is that somewhere where you're actually responding, or is it just a mental thing? Is somewhere where you're actually responding and it's going to be correct for you?
Yeah. I love that we're designed to see them.
Yeah.
The more I work with generators, the more I just feel like how harmonious it can really be when we're working with them. Like we're just designed to see them. Yeah. Projectors are a lot more complicated. We're complex beings.
It's difficult. I mean, if you're a generator and you're in response, it's perfect. It's always perfect. If you're a generator and you're in response, it's always perfect. Always. It's all it is, just the response. I mean, the mind is the enemy there. If you're a generator, you're responding to the right one, you end up with the right women. But the dilemma that we run into is are you getting the right guidance?
Yeah.
Are you getting the right guidance so that you can not be leaking energy in places so that you can not be acting out of mental reaction instead of sacral response? Are you receiving the right guidance so that you can not be putting your energy in the wrong places? That's what we run into, and then sacral atrophy. The sacral's on and the right guidance is there. It's pretty much is an inevitable. It's going to happen.
Yeah, the value of having a guide. I had a friend use this analogy. She was talking about how different it is to have a projector who's aware and guiding you. And she's the analogy of like when you're traveling, you know, it's like you can stumble around and like find things and you might stumble across something cool. But if you have a projector who's actually guiding you, like think about more how many more places you're going to hit and how many more things you're going to find that you never even knew were there.
Yeah, makes a massive difference. We know as projectors, I mean, even for the projector, but for the generator, it really is a must have. I tell generators, if you're a generator and if you have one good projector, very fortunate. If you have more than one good projector, you've hit the jackpot, because there's not very many of us. That's the dilemma for the generator, is that the generator needs guidance, but there's not very many projectors that can actually guide.
I think that, like, my belief is that men are very attracted to me, and like, that's true. But I actually think that they're attracted to me for a different reason than they realize that they're attracted to me. Like, I actually think that they're like, there's something that she has for me that is going to change like my entire life. And it is about love and it is about direction. You know, it's like they're attracted to me and they're, it's like their like simple mind goes like, ooh, sex, you know, it's like caveman, ooh, you know, but it's like, no, it's actually deeper than that. I have something for you. I mean, I just see it time and time again. Like
Yeah.
this, it's so consistent that this happens.
I mean, yeah, there's a lot that goes into these things. I've had I've had clients work with me and ultimately resolve their wounding with men. Like that actually happens quite a bit. Quite a bit. Yeah. I don't know how often it's a conscious process, but I have been in the process of going through, long sessions, over time, over a year or longer, where that ends up being something that does get resolved because we need conditioning to decondition. And so that's been something that has been interesting for me because that is not the that's not my goal as a rave psychologist, but tuning the frequency and cleaning up the frequency is, and if that ends up being a byproduct of it, then I'm definitely happy about it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's crazy the power of a mutative being that is correct. You know, it's like I shared with you, like I've worked with men one time who have told me that they were able to be in their marriage or with their long-term partner because of the work that we did together one time. Like, I've had so many messages from men that are like, I know that I'm able to show up in my relationship now because of you, because of the work that I did with you. And that is like the best feeling for me. Like, that is so beautiful.
It feels really, really good to get that type of to get that type of recognition and just to know that you mutated something in that way. Like for me, anytime that a marriage has gotten better, that always feels really, really good to me because it's one of those things where it's like you see that you are a necessary catalyst as somebody that's purely mutative, but I think that there's a large piece, having direction and having love. I don't mean that in the sense that people without defined G's don't have love, but defined G's, love and direction is there, and there's definitely conditioning that is beneficial for undefined G's, that they do need that conditioning from defined G's. And if you're going to get it from a defined G, one that has direction is going to be very beneficial in terms of your direction in your love life a mechanical standpoint.
Yeah, I've seen with men who have struggled with things for a long time and they work with me and these things move really quickly. And I've seen the people around them be like, "Why does it move so quickly with you?" And I'm like, "Look at my definition. I'm literally designed for it. The theme is love, identity, and direction. That is what I'm mutating you with. That is my authority. Like that energy is going into you."
Yeah, it's an important piece of mechanics is that for the projector aura, you're getting penetrated with whatever the definition is, and you're recognizing and inviting the projector if it's correct based off whatever that definition is. And also, it's not to say that we can only do certain things as projectors, but it does narrow down where you're effective. Definitely narrows down where you're effective.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I'm not a splenic being, you know? Spleen themes are not going to be the big themes in my life. It's going to be where my life force is, where my definition is. Whether I even want it to be or not, like, that's the thing is when it comes to what's correct, it's just what is. Like, I'm not in control of it.
It doesn't matter what you.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what you think.
Like being an 8-1, like we are the ones that we are the exception to the rules. I didn't make myself that way. I'm just the exception.
Yeah.
Sorry if you don't like it, but I am the exception. I move in a very different way. You might not like it. That's okay. You might love it. If you're from me, you love it. Some people love it. I love that you can just do things like that. I hear people all the time, I wish I could do it that way. I wish I could. Recognition. I do love being an 8-1. I had a generator friend say to me, she's like, that's a very cool channel. She's like, if I could choose another channel to have, it would be that one. She's like, I like my channel too. She has Discovery. And she's like, I really like Discovery. But also, if I could add another one, it would be yours. I'm like, yeah, it's pretty dope.
I love it. Definitely love it. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. It's like, you should love your design. Like, that's part of loving yourself is loving what you have.
Yeah.
That's
I
part
had
of
someone say that to me. She said the more she worked with me, the more she loved her design. And I was like, oh, that means I'm doing a good job. The more you understand yourself, she's a generator, the more you love yourself, like that's dope. That's the vibe. It should
definitely.
be that way. For a while, I felt like I was like the human design recovery person, where a lot of people were coming to me who got really bad readings from people who like did not know what the hell they were talking about. I had projectors. I can't even tell you how many have come to me sobbing that they're like, I was told this, and there's horrible things that like they put into this poor girl's like undefined ajna, and I just filled her head with this crap. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So it's like my job became like to take it out, take out the crap that is not real, and then like re-spin it in a different way, where it's like, it's if this knowledge is not helping you love yourself, you're doing it wrong. It is not here to shame yourself. It is not here to tell you where you're messed up. It's here to empower you to love yourself. I mean, I know it sounds so simple. It's almost like, I think it's almost too simple for people, where it's like you hear it and you're like, oh yeah, whatever. Oh yeah, love yourself. Okay. It's like, no, it's, if you understand, you will love yourself.
Yeah, it's kind of the, it's just one of those cosmic jokes. Our minds need things to be all complicated so that we can see that something's working. But yeah, it can be definitely correct for us to learn certain things at very, very deep levels, but also it only works when you live your type.
Yeah.
Everything else, live your type.
And if you're not living it, you have no business teaching it to anybody. Mean, really.
Most people have no business.
I know it's crazy because most people don't love themselves and they don't even know what it means to love yourself. But it's like any, hatred that you have toward yourself, any type of, oh, why am I this way? Da, da, da. It's like, is your not self, babe? You're not going to feel that way toward your true self. Like, your true self feels like home. It feels like this is the me that has always been me. This has always been me. I just forgot for a little bit. This is the me that someone told me was not me, but it is me.
Just takes care of so many other issues on top of it. Like, you think you've got people pleasing issues? That'll go away real quick. If you're in your authority, you know what I mean? Like, I see it with, I've never had people pleasing issues, but I see how much it fucks with people, the way that I operate, because they don't know how like how, like in the not self mind, it's like, how does he operate this way? It doesn't, the not self mind can, it doesn't, can't understand it, So a lot of people frankly learn how emotional authority works just working with me. They'll learn how to be around emotional beings, or at the very least, what it is to be around a healthy emotional being and how everything works on its own time. You learn these things when you're correct. That there's so many different places where the not self world has constructed reasons for this and reasons for that. And those are reasons of where things are wrong. Get resolved through living life as yourself. A lot of those things. Got people pleasing tendencies or whatever. If you're in your authority, there's not a way for that to be there. There's not a way for you to people please if you're in your authority. There's just all these places where people think they're messed up and like, yeah, maybe you are messed up, but the remedy for that is a lot simpler than having somebody hypnotize you or not, these things don't work. I'm not being a hater, but
Yeah.
I am saying that if you're in your authority, there's a lot of routes you don't need to go.
Yeah. Absolutely. There's, for me as a projector, there's a lot of efficiency and time that can be saved. It's like I was someone who went down all the new age path. I did all the talk therapy. I did all the things, and it did not give me what Living Correct has given me. But there's always something for the not self mind. There's always a problem. There's always,
Always something.
and it never ends, because the not self is a horror show. So there's plenty that's there. But it's like, is that really where your energy is best served? Focusing on where your issues are that really are not even issues when you're living correctly. It's like the issues actually may not even exist if you are your true self. So you want to just keep digging for the problems forever? Because you'll find them. Yeah. Not enough people living their lives. Yeah. There's a lot of fluffy words, fluffy, fluffy things people say. Word salad.
Word salad. The word
It's
salad.
really.
I'm glad I didn't have to go through it the way you did, but I do appreciate that
Yeah.
you role modeled that.
I doubt that was the third line phase for sure. And all those mistakes, they were really helpful. For a long time, once I could really see how misguided I got in the new age, it was hard to see it. Because I had spent so much of my time, my energy, my resources, my money on, trainings after trainings after trainings and thinking that it was helping me, until I was like, all of that, all the mistakes as a sixth line, they do serve me because now I'm able to see so much in other people. Like I can recognize certain things, certain patterns, issues that they're in. I can see when someone's going down a really bad path and I can spot it right away. I'm not sure I could have seen it in the way that I can had I not gone down it myself. So it is really fascinating how it has served me, even though it was like painful. And it felt like a waste of energy and a waste of time, but it's served to an extent.
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge.
Yeah, it's made me a better everything, but might not have been fun while it was happening. Big one is like the undefined ego. It can really loop in this never enoughness. And that I find is a huge trap in the healing,
Oh, yeah.
in the healing community of like, oh, if I just heal this and fix this, then da 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 da, whatever the mind makes up, then I will be worthy, then I will this. It's really bad if you have an unhealthy, defined ego who's feeding you this stuff.
That's the
It's pretty gnarly.
defined ego distortion is it's in a class of its own.
Number one most conditions under the hierarchy. It's at the top. Gnarly.
Ego stuff.
Yeah, we could talk forever about ego stuff. Have a whole episode just on ego.
Whole episode just on ego. Totally good. It'll be good too.
Yeah, how to not give your loved ones heart palpitations. Define egos. Please stay healthy for the health of the rest of us. And if undefined egos, recognize where your hooks are.
Yeah, I got front row seats to ego stuff, having a completely open ego. I steal all the I see all the problems when it comes to the ego, whether it's defined or undefined, because that's the job of a completely open ego. Just the ego stuff everywhere, everywhere. It's a real force. Ego is a real force as a motor and as well as conditioning agent in Western culture. Men have problems with that too, for sure. I mean, a lot of the problems
Big
that we talked about, we could root back to
time.
ego stuff.
Yep. Where are your commitments? Where are you trying to prove? Are you committing to the wrong things? Too many commitments. Trying to prove in the wrong areas. Who are you trying to prove to? I also see a lot of defined egos, they have a hard time letting go. You know, it's like when their will is in something, and there's the moment where it's like, you gotta let it go. You gotta let it go. But they're like, no, I can't let it go because I've committed to this. It's like, oof, you know, it's like the eagles, you know, with their talons when they grasp onto fish. If they overestimate the fish and the fish is actually larger than them, they'll grab on. And if the fish is too big, they won't be able to let go of the fish and they'll just like go down with the fish. And I often see that with defined egos where I'm like, you're going down with the fish, man. Can you just let it go? And they're like, no. Like, all right, well, we'll let this fish take you out. It's all good. See you on the other side. And then they come back. Oh, you were right about that thing. Yeah.
The wrong things, holding on to the wrong things,
Yeah.
wrong commitments. Yeah, really, really. It's a place to look. My life just haven't really had ego issues. Second line was completely open ego, but I can say that not proving anything has always worked to my advantage. Always. It's always worked to my advantage. Not having anything to prove has always worked to my advantage. It's always brought people to me, not needing to prove something. Always worked to my advantage as somebody that doesn't have a defined ego. I mean, if your ego is defined, it's a different story. You do have to prove, but I don't have to prove anything. And so it's always worked to my advantage. Men get, I mean, I think that's a blind spot for most men. You got an undefined ego and you go to prove something. You're not an ego being. You can't prove. Yeah. And that throws off the frequency, which is going to throw off your relationships with women.
Absolutely. It's gonna repel them, actually. That's a big one, is that if you are a man, are you ready to hear where you are repelling women? Like, are you ready to hear that? You know, because I've told men that before and they're like, ouch, like that does not feel good to hear. But also, like, I'm so glad you're telling me. Because they're like, they've been doing things every day that repel women. They can't even see it.
I'm so glad that I'm a second line.
You're like, yeah, I'm just an attractive projector that attracts things. Sounds horrible.
Yeah.
But it's true, and a lot of men, I see it, and it's like they're actually often they're coming from a really good place. Like they just don't know. You know, and so it's like to see it for what it is and not, you know, it's like they're doing something that out in the world has a woman be disgusted. But it's like I often see these things as like it's like a puppy, you know, that they're just doing something wrong, but they don't know. And then they're like, what am I doing that's wrong? You know, they can't see it. But the feedback that they get in the world is like, ugh, get away, you know, from certain women because it's repulsive, but they don't know what it is. It's really wild. Sometimes like a man will hit on me and I'm just like, oh my gosh, I want to help him more than anything because there's like this one thing I'm seeing him do. And if he changed this one thing, he could get the next girl he talks to. Can you see how repelling you're being?
Me. I don't really have anything I can contribute because I wait for everything to
Man, I see it all the time. To the point, like a man will hit on me, and I'm like, I just need to give him my business card. Like he just needs help. Like that's why he's talking to me right now. He thinks it's because, there's something here, but a lot of men, they don't know. They just don't know. So yeah, nice for you as a second line. 2-4. You're on a different trip, Brayton. This we know. Yeah.
Hey, it takes its own work, okay? It takes a lot of restraint. I've had to resist all of the conditioning and not listen to fucking anybody, what anybody has to say about anything other than actually women. I've only listened to women. When it comes to women, I have only really listened to women for the most part. And that has worked to my benefit greatly. But I mean, the men in my family that I listen to, it's just very hardcore, traditional, which isn't wrong. Like, it's not wrong. It's like, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this. It's this hardcore, I mean, you know personally, like these very hardcore, I don't want to say milestones or just attributes that you need to have, that you need to develop. And so those have definitely never been wrong. But outside of that, I pretty much just listen to women. That's the feedback. But see, that's the feedback that is not easy for men. Again, I'm not going to act like I'm not a second line. I'm not going to act like I don't have the serendipity in my life that I do. But when you do ask for the feedback, you ask women for feedback, it's gonna hurt. It's gonna, and if you got ego stuff, you go through an ego death. You just ask five women for feedback, you'll go through ego death real quick. You don't need psychedelics. You'll go through ego death really quick. I wouldn't know, but I can see the probability.
Better than ayahuasca.
Yeah.
So funny. It's so true. I mean, can someone even receive that? I think that's actually a really good barometer. Like, if you were to ask five women now for feedback, what would your nervous system do? Would you actually be able to receive it?
I mean, it's funny when I think about it because I know that I'll just say, I mean, you know me, I'll be like, okay, I'm gonna call. Okay, now I need to call this person. Now I need to call this person. I call you, and that's just been a natural process for me. I'm a second line, of course. I'm kind of intense. It's kind of intense that I do. Now that I think about it.
And you will hear what I have to say. And I always appreciate that. Yeah.
That's just something that's so important. Listen to women in your life. Listen to your woman. Don't be dumb. Don't be an idiot. We all have the capacity to be idiots. I have the capacity to be an idiot. Not really much of an idiot, but I know that it's there. I know
I mean, that's how you kind of end up older and still with these same issues. Like, I see men decades and decades older than us that still have the same issues that I see these men in their 30s have. And I'm like, you have not wanted to hear feedback. So you're 50, single, with these issues. And like, dang, what would have happened if you heard it a couple decades before and you were willing to hear it? Because you run into the same problems, like I had a guy late 50s, and he was like telling me he's got the same issues that he's had forever, but he didn't know them because he was like in a relationship, right? He was like married, and then he's not married, and then he goes back out into the dating world. He's got the same issues that he had before he got married. It's like the issues just stay if you're not willing to look at them.
Yeah, well, I think it was Maya Angelou said something to the effect of people Some people don't grow up, they just get older. Don't grow up and just get older. You have to actively want to grow up. For me, so much of it comes just wanting to be a better man. Like, you won't hear me say that I'm a good man. You won't. Because I live a self-examined life. And so even though I've been in positions that require me to have a high level of morality and live according to a very strict code, I still do. I won't call myself a good man. I am a decent man. I won't say I'm a good man. No. But I always want to be a better one. That's part of being a second land. There's a lot of things that I can't learn, but the areas where I can become more competent, it's important to me because it's compoundable. Yeah. Competence for men is something that compounds. As you build more competence, it starts to affect everything around you. Definitely affects who you attract, definitely affects your relationships with women. It definitely compounds in your confidence with women. But you have to want that. And it has to be something that you always want. It can't be something that you want just because of her. Just because you want to get her. That's something that for me, and I can't even say when this really happened. It's just something that I've kind of always had in my awareness. And maybe part of it is just some good conditioning that I have from my upbringing. Is you become the best man that you can be so that you can end up with the ultimate woman that you want to be with. Because my conditioning is that you pair bond with one woman, and not only are you with her for the rest of this life, but for eternity. So you want to become. So I guess I do have to give credit to the men in my life that did demonstrate what it was to be a man, whether it was my dad or my grandfather. When I was very young, it was mostly my grandfather because my dad lived in a different state, and there was a demonstration of to become the best man that you can. And so that really has always been a constant for me. That's always been a North Star for me, despite any of the phases that I've gone through in my life, the destructive teenage years and all of that. There was still something that's always been there for me to become the best man that I can become, so that first off for me, so that I can become the best man that I can become, but also because that is going to determine my pair bond. That's going to determine who I'm with. Largely. I've also had a lot of exposure to that in seeing the way that marriages are in my family, in both sides of my family. The power dynamics work in those marriages, in those pair bonds, and how much power is accumulated because of that. Because it's not imbalanced, because it's not based off things that are superficial. Like, it's not based off the men in my family don't look for trophy wives, for instance. The women in my family don't look for men that just have, good jobs or good careers or businesses. And so I have had some exposure to what that does for you as a man when you want to just be better. You want to be better. And It changes a lot in a man's life, I think. It's interesting to hear it come out of me right now because I never actually even thought about this before.
You're getting mutated right now.
I really never thought of it before because I'm like, well, I don't really know. And I'm like, oh, yeah, no, oh. Like, that's where that comes from. Thank you for the serendipity. I'm glad I was incarnated into the family I was incarnated into.
Yeah, I mean, that's real power, you know? Yeah, that's very cool. You've gotten to see that. A lot of people haven't even seen that. They don't even know that it's possible. And there's less and less of it these days. So there's going to be less opportunity for people to see that, sadly.
And it's also just a lot of it. There's a lot of illusions of it as well. Like it's fabricated on the wrong things. Like you'll see couples and things will look however they look aesthetically. And like they're projecting that they have that, but they don't actually have that hair bond. They don't have, you know, like things are there, but they don't actually have that. It's like what happens when shit hits the fan, like what happens when, and these are like, God forbid, somebody goes bankrupt, or God forbid, you lose a child, or anything like things like that. Like I've watched solid pair bonds; those things happen, and it's hard on them, but it doesn't. You don't see a different reflection of them, even during that. Like they're still solid. And I think that a lot of just through influence and a lot of like celebrity culture and billionaire culture, all of that stuff, it's like people have constructed these just these false images of a pair bond and of a strong relationship between a man and a woman and used ornaments, you know, like to make it appear stronger than it actually
Now there's a lot of fake
is.
stuff out there.
Yeah.
There's smoke and mirrors, so many smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
I mean, even outside of social media, which it's a lot of it in social
A
media,
lot. Yeah.
but
Yeah.
yeah.
It's easiest to see there, but yeah, just like overall. I mean, I mean, I see it locally. It's not like it's not like it doesn't happen in the culture that I grew up in, but everybody knows it though. Like everybody knows that, like
I
everybody
think
knows
the,
that you have a trophy wife and like everybody, you know what I mean?
mean, the biggest thing is people are lying to themselves, right? Like, if they're lying to other people, they're putting on a facade, they're lying to themselves. Yeah. It's a good conversation tonight.
Else you wanted to cover?
Don't think so. Is there anything else you think you'd like to share?
I think I don't have anything.
Yeah, I think we've made our contributions.